Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and supported by PNC Bank. This episode we have Santino Ferrucci, someone definitely of interest during the summer. What went down at the Silverstone Formula 2 race in July, I think, has still yet to become a settled issue for many, and that's based on a lot of feedback and a lot of pushback on social media. I know that my stance has been the kid deserves a second chance. And despite doing many things that added up to a colossal weekend of mistakes, both of the mouth, of the hands, of the all kinds of things, the kid is still 20 years old. And I don't like the idea of writing off somebody at that age without at least giving them a chance to, I don't know if atone is the word, but at least give them a chance to correct behaviors, mindsets, offer maybe a better or more explanatory apology, something that goes a little bit deeper than what was offered. So that was the whole idea behind sitting down here with the young American as he returns to the Verizon IndyCar Series this weekend in Portland. So we were sitting down here at Portland at the end of a test day with the Dale Coyne Racing team, honestly, to go through what's been going through his mind, what went through his mind in hitting his teammate, retaliating, showing his frustration through those means, and whether it was texting and driving in his race car, the allegations of comments he and his father leveled at his Indian teammate, the allegations of racist comments and behavior. Just, there's a lot here. I would say definitely a mess. Won't make any statement, judgment, or prediction on how you will receive this, whether you will like the kid more at the end of listening to our conversation or like him less. But the goal here wasn't to do anything other than, I believe, for the first time or one of the first times since the incidents, to at least hear from him. And I told him ahead of time, I'm going to be really straightforward and honest with you, and I hope that that comes through here. That's what we have here with young Santino Ferrucci. We'll be back right after this. PNC is proud to sponsor Scott Dixon, driver of the number 9 car for Chip Ganassi Racing. Everyone tunes in on race day, but so much of the race is determined off camera during the work put in throughout the week, month, and year. From the gym to the practice track, Scott Dixon and the team take small steps every day to get closer to victory lane. Copyright 2018, the PNC Financial Services Group Incorporated. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC. So if you happen to be catching this tonight, Thursday or Friday, or even on Saturday, we're holding another live Marshall Pruitt Podcast, our Week in IndyCar episode, presented live in front of a crowd. Hopefully you will come out here at Portland Saturday night at 5:30. We have the glorious 3-time Indy 500 winner, 4-time IndyCar champ Dario Franchitti. We have Will Power, your new Indy 500 winner and 2014 series champion. We also have Sebastian Bourdais, winner of the last Portland IndyCar race in 2007, and a 4-time champion in his own right. So, a good, fun panel. All three of these guys like each other, give each other a hard time. So I'm hoping you can come out, share some questions, have a little bit of fun, and we'll be giving away a couple t-shirts here, as well a little bit of swag, some stickers and whatnot. So try and definitely give back for those of you who come out and help us do fun things. You know you can get every episode of our Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, which is the host for everything we do here, on Spotify. We also have everything that goes up immediately on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page. All right, off we go with Santino Ferrucci. You have had one of the less savory summers for a young motor racing driver. I think I can speak for many of those who I've seen react to the events that took place at the Silverstone Formula 2 portion of the event, that you have, at least among general opinion, ticked a lot of boxes that tick off a lot of people. I'm assuming this isn't news to you.
Not quite, unfortunately.
I believe some of the fears that people hold is that, forget whatever apology you made, forget any of those who have supported you, there's a shithead beneath all of this artifice, and any words you've said, anything are masking a racist, an ugly American, someone who doesn't deserve the opportunities that you have. I could go on and on. I can't say if those folks are right or wrong, but I appreciate your willingness to sit down and at least talk about something in ways that a two-dimensional social media interaction cannot do. Let's go back to Silverstone. You've said that the contact you made with your teammate was not premeditated. I've written that of all the attempts for one driver to hit another, that's not even in the top 100. So first of all, you did a shitty job if there was retribution in mind there. Give me your mindset. Give us your mindset. Because yeah, mindset's the mystery.
Let's go through the weekend, to be honest, because I've not gone through the whole weekend. Everyone's focalized on what happened right after the checkered
flag.
End
results.
So going into the weekend, I am alone in the team. I'm the only one there. I have no family. I have one physio that stays with me. So it's, me on my own versus, he's with his whole family, his brothers, his mom, his dad, all of his friends. And we had tensions in the team. Me and my teammate got along. We were really good friends for 5 years. I still consider us as friends, regardless what happens when you put the visor down. And, it was clear throughout the year we had different ideas, and starting with how we wanted to balance out the car and just simple things. And it always created a tension. We're both Haas development drivers. We both still are. And, there is a distinct rivalry between us that had been going on for many, many years, almost since karting. So, it's been a healthy rivalry, to say the least. And, we had some issues in race one. Even before race two, we were fighting pretty hard. And I was dropping off the pace quite a bit. I had quartered my front tire. And when he had made an attempt to pass me, I was a little over-aggressive towards him because I was trying to hold a position, which I should have, in hindsight, not been super aggressive. And he ended up going off the track. And when we came in from that race, he was quite physical and towards me. And, knowing in the FIA world, the one thing as a driver that you know is not to touch another driver. There's no saying anything other than that. And for him to come out of the car to physically shove me, and, I let it go. It's one of those things where, all right, he's pissed. We get pissed. I let it go. Race two, I had spoken with my team boss. They had decided to put an onboard camera on my car because I expressed to him that I was very, very upset with what he had done, and it's not fair. So, and he took it as more of like towards a threat towards him, which I did not mean in any way, shape, or form. So in race two, we fought really hard, really close. He got back at me pretty good mid-race. He threw a pass right up the inside and drove into my car and bent my front suspension, which put me off the track. And later on when we finished the race, I was very, very furious, very, very emotional. It's just a very dirty move towards me, which, he had plenty of opportunities to pass me, and he just decided to lunge me and hit me square.
Did you have a feeling as if that was retribution for your over-defending in race one?
Yeah, I felt that was intentional towards me, but, I never saw him either. Because in Silverstone, after Abbey, which is turn one, you have turn one, two, which is flat and straight. You go into three, which is a really heavy brake zone. And then he drove underneath me in four. Now, four is a really tight corner, and we take wide lines to make it. And when I had done my line out wide, he had gone straight up the inside and just drove in, used me more as a brake, and had hit the car. And I was quite upset with the pass. I had started to seriously fall off the pace because the steering wheel was really pretty mangled. And after the checkered flag, I got behind him initially to, you know, I was pissed. I wanted to show him I was pissed. I wanted to put up a hand gesture. And I had just thought, all right, go around. And when I went to go around, I clipped him, which something stupid, you know, and being furious. I misjudged the front wing in the car by an inch. And I did no damage to his car. And I just snapped a nut on the front wing assembly on my car, and that's why my front wing had dropped off. And, you know, it's just a stupid mistake out of pure emotion for the fact that, you know, he beat me in that race. You know, he passed me in a way that I thought was aggressive and, you know, just payback for what had happened yesterday. So it's fair enough to say I was really, really out of my mind.
Did it occur to you that possibly from his perspective the balance was zeroed? You did me wrong, I did you wrong, we're even. I'm not saying right. Mm-hmm. Right isn't involved here, but at least did it occur to you that maybe instead of another action, that maybe although you were pissed, mm-hmm. Okay,
should have been even.
Okay, you got me. Did that run through your mind at all?
Yeah, more towards after that had happened and, you know, I had realized that I clipped him, you know. It's one of those things where, all right, now I've messed up. So, and that's on me.
Now, so. I'm not trying to make light of this. My personality tends to skew towards sarcasm and stupidity. I mentioned this in the opening. Hitting him, bad. I don't think anyone's going to say anything different. Mm-hmm. If you really wanted to take him out, I think you and almost any person who's ever driven a car or watched really bad cop movies knows how to do that. For the actions that I saw, that was not an artful, bam, I'm going to take you out. So at least for me when I saw that, it looked like misjudged frustration compared to holy vengeance, because we've seen examples from Formula One drivers to NASCAR of if you want to plant someone in the weeds, you know, it's not a mystery how to do it.
No, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. When I was karting, my whole karting career, you know, I took nothing from nobody. I was one of those people where if you tapped me the wrong way, I'd put you in the fence. I just refused to have a gasp of air for anybody. I was super aggressive, super mindset of focused, this is my world. You know, in cars, you can't have that mindset. You can't go around just hitting people. It's really dangerous. You're going, you know, upwards of 200 miles an hour in some places, and, you know, parts fall off, and people could seriously get injured. So you should display that aggressivity in different ways by closing doors, blocking, different techniques, not necessarily driving over people. You know, I've had my fair share of moments in go-karts where, you know, I've been driven over, and I've driven over people, and trust me, if I wanted to hit him, I would have done it the correct way and rode off the cars.
And I mentioned this just because of all the drama, mm-hmm. That aspect for me ranks not just at the bottom, but almost an afterthought. I know that some reactions that I read treated it as if vehicular homicide detectives should have rushed to the scene. I thought that was ridiculous. Where I believe folks who've said this kid does not deserve a second chance, write him off, he's dead to me, where that thread has picked up is in the actions and or alleged actions once you got back to the pits. The texting while driving, which is not something I ever would have associated with racing, that seems to have tickled many sensitivities. What happened there?
Well, generally when, like I had said at the start of the weekend, I was quite alone. I mean, a lot of drivers in pre-warm-up, not something that you commonly see here in America, a lot of us warm up with our physios. So we jump rope, you know, we do special exercises for me. I do a lot of stuff for my lower back, and for my arms, and we listen to music using Bluetooth headphones. And Silverstone's a very specific race to where your physio doesn't stay with you until you get in the car. He leaves a half hour before, so you have to warm up on your own. Because we're in the old F1 pit lane, which is between turns 8 and 9, completely across the track. And what happened was, after race 1, to where my teammate was really upset with me, and, you know, I had came in the morning and I had to deal with his family on my own, and, you know, mentally I just wanted to drown out the noise. I took my headphones off. I got in the car. I mean, we were going not even on a hot track. It was a transport tire. It was transporting the cars from our pit lane to the F1 pit lane. I got in. We do the buckles. We don't tighten them at all because we're just transporting the cars. The second they started me up, I'd felt, when we started to move, I felt my phone in my pocket. My mechanics had already left because then once they start the car, they leave immediately so they can meet you in the F1 pit lane via bus.
Yep.
So instead of my phone coming out of my pocket and flying into my footwell, I had thought it best I just hold on to it with my hand. And when I got to the pit lane, I handed it to my physio. It was a stupid, honest mistake to where it was in my pocket, and I didn't want it going anywhere, so I just held on to it. So, because if it does come out and it does go in the seat, you have to, in a short period of time, get out of the car, remove the headrest, remove the seat, remove all the safety equipment, and it's time-consuming, especially when you're down mechanics already. So...
Did anyone from the FIA and Formula 2 series ask to look at your phone to see if there had been any texts sent? Because, again, the allegation was texting while driving. There's a fairly easy way to
check that.
Prove that.
Oh, of course. And to be honest, I wish they did, because they would have seen that there was nothing on my phone. There was nothing sent. There was no screen on, nothing. It was just clear me holding it to make sure that it didn't go anywhere. You know, it kind of upsets me on the fact that the FIA refused to want to do any of that, but, you know, that's their call, not mine. So,
on the topic of the calls to the stewards, in what I had read, you had mentioned that there was, I believe it was a family medical-related something or other to get home to, reason why you could not attend the steward meetings, that emails had been sent explaining this. That seemed to be a lot of items that could be misunderstood or inaccurate. The not making it to the stewards meetings, I know, has added to the belief, disrespectful, kid on his own, doesn't care. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I mean, the image portrayed from that was pretty upsetting towards me. I had missed the meetings because, one, I was immediately after the race chaperoned and held for more than an hour in a drug test along with four other drivers. And this massively delayed the time because I knew it was pretty clear I would have to go as of what happened. It was in my mind. I had to get home. My uncle was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic and pancreatic cancer. And, you know, they don't give him much time. And he was diagnosed a little bit before I left, so I was able to see him in the hospital, which is pretty upsetting. It's pretty... hard topic for me to talk about. And so I just rushed to get home to see him and whatnot. Funny enough, the car this weekend is we're going to be representing the pancreatic cancer awareness with the same colors of purple. No, that was the main reason. I had emailed the stewards prior saying I had a serious family emergency to get home for. The email was never received through my team. They never sent it. Because we don't have the steward's information personally. I had apologized on the Monday and Tuesday to all of the stewards to go out of my way to find and to email them. And they had email me back saying that they were unmoved and did not care for my other responsibilities, which is pretty harsh, to say at least. So, yeah, that's why I missed the meetings, which I wish I never did. But you live and learn, so.
PNC is proud to sponsor Scott Dixon, driver of the number 9 car for Chip Ganassi Racing. Scott knows that the road to Victory Lane starts today. Copyright 2018, the PNC Financial Services Group Incorporated. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Let's talk about last couple of items here. And
yep.
Realize, Santino, this is, from what I have seen and read, where things get toughest. The allegations of whether it is racist comments, mocking your teammate's accent, this I have read, and I say alleged, I wasn't there. I haven't read your teammate saying this factually is or isn't, so we're all having to...
No, of course.
What did you say? What didn't you say? Is this, I think, is being used as the number one item to write you off? And I don't know if it's deserved or not.
I mean, first of all, my teammate was British. He speaks in British accent. He's from, may not be from England, but he's lived in England a lot of his life. So the fact of the making fun of the accent's actually a serious surprise to me, because it's actually the other way around. Because they think that the way we speak is funny, believe it or not. Because they all think that we sound like, because traveling around the world, you get to experience different accents. Traveling to Texas, we sound different as to where we would be if we lived in Jersey. They all think that we sound like we're from Texas. So they talk like they're in the Texas accent all the time. And to me, for them to say that about his accent, it's not even true. He's got a British accent. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start with that, to be honest with you. And the fact that what people are calling me, I mean, it's also not true. And I've been going over to England since I was 10 years old. And, I've been judged because I was the only American. So, and I've been called a Yankee, been called a fucking American is the actual term. So I've been called my entire life being over there because they don't like us there. So, I mean, I think that was the only comment, in my opinion, that was flipped upside down on me pretty badly. So,
I've also read allegations of racially marked comments, not necessarily accent mocking, but racially related comments to your teammates' ethnic origins. Read your father has said such things as well. Painted a picture of the son is emulating the father, and this is not a good thing. I'm having to ask you blindly, because again, I haven't been there. Have you said anything along racial lines with your teammates or others that might have folks believing that you are a racist?
No, I mean, also the thing with my dad. My dad never comes in the pits in the F2 paddock. I mean, he doesn't like it. So we all go out to dinner together off the racetrack, off the race weekend, when the Monday, Tuesday that we're in the workshop go-karting simulator, we all go out to dinner, and we make jokes of where we're from. They make jokes of where they're from. I mean, and it's interesting, and we always talk about the culture differences from each other's homeland. But not in any point, in my opinion, was it, did neither of us think that it was directed at as you know, racism towards each other. And it's just, we grew up from different backgrounds, and it's just diversity of who we are.
The last major, or the two major components that came to mind that I think have added to this scenario. One, if you were to take the alleged alleged racist comments, the aggressive on-track behavior, and then someone reporting that you had requested to have some form of Make America Great Again or something pro-Trump added to your car, if we're thinking of stereotypes, that would certainly fit
pretty well into a certain specific stereotype. And I agree with you. So,
was that a request that was made?
The Make America Great Again? Yep. That started out as a joke with my sponsors. In both of my sponsors have been supporting me through my entire karting career, up into cars, and through now to IndyCar. And it was coming home from, I want to say, Monaco. We were having political issues with the series in the cars, and we really struggled to get anywhere for the changes that we needed for the cars to be operational. And it wasn't just me. I mean, something that affected my teammate, many other competitors and friends of mine, and we couldn't get the series' attention enough to really make a change.
You actually spoke about that with myself and racers Chris Medland when we, off camera, at Indianapolis. So,
yeah, it continued to be a nightmare. We were never able to get an improvement, and to be honest, I had the year for me was not going great. We had missed and had more mechanical failures than I've ever had in my entire career combined. And as a joke, I said, "Oh, why don't we just put Make America Great Again on the side of the car?" Thinking, all right, make the series great again. Because F2, in my opinion, last year was one of the best series in the world. I mean, the cars were unbelievable. The competition was unbelievable. And it was enjoyable. And, you know, this year it's been nothing but stress and aggravation. And they thought, oh, well, that's a good idea. Can you request it? And I went to the team. I asked the team, is this something we can do? Is there something that we can put this on the side of the car? The answer was no. And when I showed up at the race in, France, it was early June, my American flags were removed off the side of the car, which was upsetting. Because on the side pod wings of the car, I always ran American flags. I always have back in the F3 days going up. So I was very furious. And they had put them back on for practice. It was fine. Everything was good. And the team had refused to do that. And I said, well, why? And they said, because the series won't allow it. And I said, all right, well, can you ask the series so the series can write me a letter saying that they won't allow it so I can send it back to my sponsors as to why we can't do this. And they went, sure. So the letter that you guys saw that was posted to the internet that was completely confidential between the series, my team, and my sponsor was the letter to confirm as to why we could not run the specific MAGA livery on the side of the car. So,
and to be clear, if you are the world's biggest Donald Trump fan or not, that's immaterial. I think, and I genuinely don't care, nor do I think that has anything with what we're discussing. But I do know that, as I mentioned at the open here, add that on top of the others, and that has, I believe, helped folks to see a version of you that is very concise and distilled. Not saying it's accurate, partially, wholly. I'm not making any statements, just saying, put enough of these pieces together and it starts to look like something.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the and especially in our country, the racial topic is very sensitive, and being in recent events of what had happened with Connor and his father of something over 3 decades ago, I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't understand that when I'm driving also for an American team. I'm representing Haas F1 as an American. So happen to that being true thing, I don't think I would still be a development driver. And I don't think that would be in anyone's best interest, and let alone I don't think I'd even be a racing driver if that was true, because of how sensitive that topic is. So for the fact that people to come out and say that, I mean, to express that is really upsetting. So
let's wind down here, Santino.
Mm-hmm.
I asked some friends in the paddock and said, what of the Santino Ferrucci Silverstone ordeal and its knock on? What are the things that still frustrate you? And one common answer was the apology. Terrible apology was something in that realm of, boy, that sure didn't hit the mark. If anything, it came off as looking for sympathy. I did read some who said the phrasing of being an Italian American and passionate, that was received as a cop out, mm-hmm. And or saying something negative towards Italian Americans, that if you're Italian American, you get enraged and can't think, and like any other dash American could. I'm going to lob a little bit of a softball here. I don't know if you're going to want to hit it, but would I be correct in assuming that, at least based on whatever feedback you've gotten from your apology, that taking a second stab at it might not be a bad thing? Or do you feel you conveyed everything you had to say correctly?
I mean, it's something that I had done after the events and after seeing my uncle, as not necessarily a main thought, more towards an afterthought. And I had worded it to the way I wanted to, and unfortunately at that time I had to have lawyers involved because of the team and their what was supposed to be different ends of contracts, you know, because Silverstone was technically my last race by contract because I was going to come back here. I had made a deal with them and it was said and done, and they had torn apart more or less my original one and had pieced some of it back together, and you know, to them it's not something I really, you know, I had to suck up and say. I wanted to originally do a video of explaining like we're doing now, but they didn't think it was a good idea at the time, so I'm glad I'm doing this now. But it's something that I would have liked to have done better if I could.
Let's close with, if you want it, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope people understand where I'm coming from, you know, and what I've gone through and what I've sacrificed to be here. You know, another thing is people think I was more or less gifted this opportunity, which isn't true. It's something I gave up my whole childhood to do, and moved over to Italy for a set amount of years, raced in England when I was a kid. I dropped out of normal high school, started my sophomore year and did everything online to still graduate. You know, it's not something that if someone came over and said, hey, here's a car, go drive this. It's, you know, it's an everyday effort to work hard with my sponsors, to work hard, you know, with my family, to work hard on myself to perfect a career, which by all means is very difficult. Especially in Europe, it's very hard mentally. It takes a toll on my family. Since my parents are now divorced, more or less, for it. So, you know, I've given up a lot to be where I am. And I just hope people can understand and appreciate that.
I'll offer one suggestion as we close.
Mm-hmm.
One way that works more often than not to change people's perception of yourself, of oneself, is not through words, it's through actions. I know that I am the millionth person to suggest, whether it is a don't text and drive campaign or volunteerism, whether it is helping those who are less fortunate, those who are of whichever ethnicity, faith, you name it, who might not have the same opportunities as you, as you and I, mm-hmm. sitting here in an IndyCar paddock among the elite. These things don't even have to be publicized. But for if there is a genuine desire for folks to grasp that you are more than mm-hmm. what they think you are, there are bona fide ways to do that in a genuine manner that, in theory, would reinforce the positive sides of Santino Ferrucci.
No, and I agree. And I've done a lot of things like that this year. One of the biggest things I did was called Dream Ride, which is a charity for Special Olympics athletes, to where we go. We meet thousands of them. We go out. We have a spend 2 days almost with them and talk with them and, you know, we take them on Dream Ride cruise. We spend and get to know each other and stuff like this. Like you had said, I plan to, you know, go to see some children in Sonoma, and a couple other things come in the winter time. You know, helping out with charities in a local soup kitchen to where I am from, and stuff like that. But you know, stuff like that, I don't publicize on my own. I prefer, you know, to do it from the heart and for people to see me there. And if they see me there, they see me there. You know, it's not something that I'm just going to go sit out and post about that I'm doing. It's just something that, you know, I like to do for myself to give back because it feels right in that manner, in that respect, if that's what you mean. So, but, long road of recovery. So.
Thanks for sitting down, Santino.
Thank you, Marshall, for the time.
And that was Santino Ferrucci. I'll be really interested to read the comments, see what you have to say, if your opinion of him has changed, if it's gone in a different direction, positively or negatively, or if this fell on deaf ears and didn't really care when you were done listening in. It's one of the things I love about the podcast format. I was listening to a podcast by the Podfather, Bill Simmons, formerly of ESPN, more recently of his own Ringer Network, and also HBO, and he mentioned how much he has enjoyed going off of the written page more frequently than ever and using the podcast format strictly to be able to do interviews like this, where everything doesn't have to be clean and polished, things don't have to resolve in a conclusive manner. It's people talking, and in this instance, some things that aren't necessarily warm and fuzzy. That's also, frankly, one of the things that I enjoy most. We can do lots of fun stuff. We try and have a lot of fun each week on the Week in IndyCar series, the Week in Sports Car series. It's a lot of laughs, a lot of silliness to go with whatever serious aspects of the day. But do appreciate here that more than a written piece, it's just two guys having a conversation and putting him on his heels a little bit and seeing how he responds, getting a feel if he really understands how much he screwed up and how, if he does not make genuine changes to himself or how he presents himself, future sponsors, those who now go straight to social media to see what kind of person is this, what have they said, what are people saying about them. He has the ability at 20 years old to change the narrative of how people react to him and how people think of him and whether they would want to support him. All right, well, this wasn't exactly an in-car audio feature or something else. It's just a little bit breezy, but I do appreciate your tuning in. Hopefully we don't have to do too many more of these this year. It's been a rather crazy week or two, and lack of drama, just kind of boring, straight, hey, we're fighting for a championship, but let's talk about that and get back to normal stuff. I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand and say I would love nothing more than that. So, as always, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and supported by PNC Bank. Thank you for listening.